Genesis chapter 22, the verse 1. God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And then look at verse 11. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. What is in a name is what we want to think about this morning. How significant is a name? We spend ages sometimes to try to get a name for our children. You know how parents are. Father has this idea and the mother has this idea, and sometimes they have to wait days before they come up with a suitable name that they both like. But at the end of the day, it's all about our own whims, and the name amounts to very little. But you see, when God gives a name, it's very significant. And there's a sermon in that name, if God gives it. And this morning I want to consider with you the name of this tried and tested man of God, Abraham. Observe, it is the first word from God's mouth in this story. God did test Abraham, and he commences the dialogue whereby he is going to test him by saying, Abraham, full stop. There's a pause there. God calls his servant by name, and his servant is also his friend, and he speaks his name. You notice that whenever God pauses here, he is waiting for a response. He doesn't just enter straight into dialogue. Usually that is what God did with Abraham. He appeared to him. He entered into dialogue with him. He didn't speak his name. But not this time. This time is different. This time, before he commences the dialogue, before he wants to tell Abraham what he wants to tell him, the first thing he does is speaks his name. Abraham. That's important. As I said, it's not the habit of God in visiting this man of God. But here he does this very deliberately. And it's not just about getting his attention. It's not that, you know, Abraham's in a crowd and he has to be called out and selected as in a crowd. No, God always came to Abraham when he was on his own. He didn't have to call his name to get his attention and to call him out of the crowd. No, he always came to him and spoke to him. But now he says, Abraham. So it's something solemn. It's something where this name is important. And of course, there's something sweet about it. It's wonderful when the Lord speaks your name. The Lord knows his servant by name. You remember how the Bible says, a sheep hear his voice, he calleth his own sheep by name. Abraham's called by name. You remember how he says to all his people, I know thee by name. He calls him by name. Now, one reason why God emphasizes this name is that he wants to make sure, whenever others come to read this chapter, he wants to make sure that everybody's going to know this is only a call to Abraham. He's only calling Abraham to do this thing. He's only calling Abraham to take his son and to offer him for a sacrifice. No one else. This is not a general call. This is not an example for all God's people to follow. No, God says, Abraham, just you. Just you and just your only son, Isaac. You know, child sacrifice was common in ancient times amongst false religion. Moloch and other heathen deities, they required their followers to offer up their seed in sacrifice, but not the true and living God. He never calls us to offer up our seed in sacrifice. He never calls us to kill our children. It was an abomination to him. And he does not call his people to this. And no one can come to you, and Satan can't come to you, and he can't say, look, this is what happened here in Abraham's life, and God's calling you to that. That's a lie. It's not a general call. Abraham, you're the only one who has to obey this. You're the only one who has to go through this. And there are certain reasons why Abraham has to do that and to go through that. But the important thing is, no one else. You know, some people have been so demented by Satan and by mental health problems that they've maybe heard voices that have said, kill your children. Thankfully, this is very rare, but it has happened. But we must always know that it's always wrong. That God would never say that, that it's Satan only who says that. And this is the only exception. And he's very careful to say, Abraham. So that's one of the reasons why he uses this name. So carefully here. It's a bit like the Lord at the cemetery of Bethany, you remember. All the dead are in the tombs, and the Lord just doesn't say, come forth. It's not a general call to everybody. He says, Lazarus, come forth. It was just a call to Lazarus, you see. And he was the only one who could come forth in the power of that call. And that's what it is here. Only Abraham, no other saint, no other friend of God, no one else but this servant. But of course, there's more to the use of this name than that. God is emphasizing the meaning of the name. Before he brings him into this trial, God is reminding him of his name for the purpose of helping him through the trial that he's now going to bring him to. He starts with this first word, Abraham. It's for his faith. It's for his help. That name is very important in this chapter. In fact, something that has to be pointed out is the frequency with which this name occurs, Abraham. It is occurring about 18 times. Moses is therefore writing down the name a lot, Abraham, Abraham. He's writing it down a lot. Between verses 3 to 10, it occurs 8 times, once in every verse. This has been highlighted by the Holy Spirit. God says his name twice in verse 11. God speaks his name several times. And the whole story is saturated with the use of his name. The name of Isaac only occurs 5 times. And so you'll see here that the Holy Spirit is very light on the pronoun, he. But he's very heavy on the name, Abraham. Abraham. Just by virtue of it 18 times occurring there, we have to think about it. But by virtue of it being the first word from God's mouth, we have to think about it. Abraham. God did test Abraham. Abraham rose up early. Abraham lifted up his eyes. Abraham said unto the young man, Abraham took the wood. Abraham said, my son, Abraham built an altar. Abraham stretched forth his hand. Do you see how the Holy Spirit doesn't say he? Abraham. So we can definitely conclude God wants you to think upon the name of Abraham. You must never forget his name. And more importantly for this trial, he must never forget his name, what he is. He's Abraham. What's in a name, you ask then? Whenever God gives it, everything. You know, whenever we come to Bible names, there are many Bible names in the Bible, and they're all important. But there are some that are very important. And they are especially to be noted. And they stand out because there's a verb used. the verb to call. The word name is used, and the name is given. So you have a verb, you have the word name, and you have the name itself. And where you get this combination of these three, let me tell you this, that's a very important name. You could preach a sermon on that name. That's the name that has to be highlighted. Sometimes the name is given, called by a man or by an angel, and sometimes by God. You have an interesting case of all three here, the verb, the word name, and the name itself in verse 14. Abraham called, there's the verb, the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh. So we know Jehovah Jireh is a very important name. A man of God called it a name, and the name was Jehovah Jireh. You have the verb, you have the person calling, you have the word name, and you have the name itself, Jehovah Jireh. And so you know that's a significant name. And we'll preach on that name, God willing, sometime, if we're spurred. When a saint then, or a man of God, gives a name to someone or something, or a place in the Bible, it is to be noted. We find this combination frequent in the scriptures. It actually first occurs before the fall, before sin entered into the world. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, the Lord God formed every beast of the field out of the ground, every fowl of the air. He brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called, there's the verb, every living creature, that was the name thereof. And that's a very interesting verse, how that all the animals got their names from Adam. He called them their names. But we would really love to know what those names were. And then in verse 20 of Genesis chapter 3, here's another very important verse. Adam called his wife's name Eve. There's a sermon in that word. She's the mother of all living. The first man, he called her name Eve. You have the verb, you have the name, the word name, and you have the name itself, Eve. There's a sermon there. And the combination doesn't just occur at the start of the Old Testament and throughout the Old Testament. You will also know that at the start of the New Testament, it is most significant. Because we read there, she shall bring forth a child, the angel says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So you have the person calling, you have the verb, you have the word name, and you have the name itself, Jesus. And you know the importance of that name. And she didn't know Joseph. And she brought forth her firstborn, and he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. And that's the best name of all. The chief name, the name above all other names. And that name we will come back to again before the end of the sermon. So yes, there is something in a name whenever a saint or an angel, and especially God, gives that name. And you see, that's the thing about this name of Abraham. God given. He gave it himself. And Abraham knows this. He knows the meaning of the name. You see, in our English translation, we don't really capture this emphasis, the meaning of the name, do we? It's just Abraham. It's a nice name. A whole lot of people are called Abraham. Sometimes we call our children Abraham. Do we really know the meaning? It stands out of the Hebrew, you see, the meaning. They don't just see a word, a Hebrew word. They read the meaning. They're capturing the meaning. And so we use foreign names for our children, usually Greek or Hebrew, or maybe some other foreign name, Latin perhaps, but we don't know the meaning. I mean, nobody calls their children Mr. Greatheart or Mother of All Living. You call maybe Eve. It's a foreign word. We don't say, I'm going to call my son the son of my right hand. That would be a strange name to be bearing in school. The teacher asks, well, what's your name? Son of my right hand. You don't say that. You say, Benjamin. Benjamin. In the text, it's the meaning. It's the meaning. The teacher asks your name. What's your name? One who is exalted. No, you say Aaron. Aaron's my name. You don't give the interpretation of the name. You don't say the name. You don't say, my name is Beloved. No, you say, I'm David. I'm David. You don't say, I am God has healed. No, you say, I'm Josiah. I'm Josiah. You don't say, I've been asked for. You say, I'm Samuel. I'm Samuel. But when you're reading the Hebrew, you're reading the meaning. Abraham is hearing the meaning. And that's why it's so important. So what I'm saying is that when the compound Abraham is used, the Hebrew reader is reading the meaning of the name and not just the name. And more importantly, when Abraham hears his name spoken by God, he is hearing it in its richest meaning. Abraham. So we have to keep that in mind. And God, as I said this himself, you'll not be called anymore Abram, God said to him one day. But thy name shall be Abraham, because a father of many nations I have made thee. And so he was called Abram originally, which means father, a high father, an exalted father, a worthy father. A strange name for a man who has no children into his old age. But God came and added to his name. He made his name bigger. And he told him his name was true. You are an exalted father. It's more than that. I'm going to make you even more than that. I'm going to show you how you're going to be an exalted father. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Not just Israel, but nations. A multitude of nations. I'm going to make you a father of plenty. And so he's going to make him his name by making him a father of multitudes. And that's what Abraham means, father of nations. And yet when God gave him his name, he had no children by his wife. None. His name was a divine promise, you see, isn't that right? God speaks the promise when he calls his name. A father of many nations. It's not just a prophecy. It is that. But it's a prophecy because it's a divine promise. God is promising him, I'll make you a father of nations. Even though you're old. And even though at the time that he said that to him, you're childless. And you know what the Bible says? Abraham believed God. Imagine that. He had some faith. His wife old, he's old. He knows his body. And yet God has said, you'll be a father of nations. And he believed God. He believed it with all his heart. He was a man of faith. And he responded to that promise of faith. And he knew God can't lie. And he knew God doesn't fool about with words. And he knows God doesn't fool about with his name. And if God has said, you're Abraham, then I am Abraham. I'm a father of multitudes. And now, he has one son. An only son. And God tells him to kill him. But before he tells him to kill him, he says a name. Abraham, father of nations. And he's going to kill his only son. It seems so contrary to God's promises. It seems so inexplicable. Many would stumble at that. Oh, I can't go through. I can't believe any more about what God says. This can't be right. But the Bible says he didn't stagger at unbelief. He didn't question God. He still believed. He would be a father of multitudes, even though he was in the process of killing the only legitimate son he had. And before he calls him to do that, God sweetly calls him by his name. And Abraham knows God's reminding him of his promise, even as he brings him into the trial. You see, whenever God brings us into the trial, he won't let us go in without a promise. Even if it's only one word, even if it's only a name. And Abraham's going into the trial with one word, his name. Abraham, father of nations. So God is speaking this name for his servant's faith. And that sustains Abraham. And Abraham knows God is saying to me, my name is still true. I still have that name. God has spoken it. It hasn't changed. I suggest to you that his name meant more to him now than it ever did before. And he carries that knife and he carries that fire that is going to make his son ashes. And that name is more precious to him than ever. Abraham. That sustained him. The one name. The one name. That's God's word to him. Only one word. But he keeps on believing, keeps on trusting, he keeps on obeying. He is Abraham, man of faith, about to slay his son. And he has slain him by faith. By faith. You see, he can't do it without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is a work coming out of faith. He is not slaying his son in unbelief, but in faith. By faith, the apostle says, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. By faith, he that had received the promises, and largely that promise was in his name, offered up his only begotten son. By faith. And there's no faith without a promise. Without a promise from God. And so he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, I think Abraham is going along here thinking, in faith, I will become the father of many nations. Even though I must kill my son, my only son, God will still do it. How? Did he think how? How would God still do this? Well, the apostle tells us what he's thinking. He accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead. So he didn't think, God will give me another son, and I'll have more sons. He didn't think that. He knew it had to be Isaac. Because whenever God came to him, he says, you'll call him Isaac. With Isaac, I'll establish my covenant through his seed. So it has to be Isaac. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. So Abraham's not going along with a knife and with a fire thinking, God will give me another son. It'll all work all right, all right. He'll give me another son. No, I'm Abraham, and God has said through Isaac this promise will be fulfilled. And so he has to conclude, God will raise him from the dead. The apostle has studied it, you see. He's thought it all through, being led by the Holy Spirit. And it's true. He accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead. So the resurrection is in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham, believing God, concluded resurrection. He has an amazing faith. He never saw resurrection. It seemed utterly impossible, but yet he has faith. Faith. People of God, if God says it, it is true. God will keep his promises. Not one of them will fall through the ground. Even when it looks unlikely, even when it looks impossible, God will keep his promises. He will not fail you. God won't fail you. He's promised you his promises. He's promised you everlasting life if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not fail you. You'll not be ashamed and disappointed. If God has said it, he'll do it. Be like Abraham. Believe the promises of God. Don't stagger in unbelief. Don't doubt. And he brings us through trials like he brought Abraham through this trial. But he will not fail you. Abraham has a name. And brethren and sisters, you all have a name too. In fact, you have more than a name. You have all the Bible and all the promises of God and many names. But you have not only got great and exceeding promises, far more than Abraham. All Abraham had was a name, a God-given name. And at the end of the day, as a Christian, that's all you need. A God-given name. Just one name. Whenever the mind starts to go, whenever dementia sets in, whenever the pain grips the body in the last throes of months of on a deathbed, you might only have one name to sustain you. Just one name. And it's a name God has given to us. A name above all other names. A name that conveys all the promises of God. So what I'm saying to you, child of God, is whenever you are on the journey of life with all its trials, there is a name for you. A name that has been given to you. A name that will sustain you. A name that you will hear God speaking. And there's no other name under heaven given amongst men but that name. I'm speaking about the name of Jesus, aren't I? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. It's the name given to us. It's the name that we hear when we go through the trials. Jesus. It's the name that is precious to God's people. It is a name that carries them through. It is the name that upholds them. It is the name that they believe in. It's the name that they love. The name of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. The one name. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. You see, Abraham hung everything on that God-given name, Abraham. And we are to do the same with the name of Jesus, Savior. He is Savior. And I will hang my everything on that name. He that believeth on the name hath everlasting life. He shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The one name, he that holds fast that name shall never be ashamed. You can build on that one name, and you only need one name, Savior, Jesus. However dark the trial, however laboring the labor, however heavy the load, however sore the cross, you have a name given unto man, the name of Jesus. Have therefore the faith of Abraham and hang all on a name. Let us pray.